many of the risk factors for poor health experienced during adulthood, particularly the non-communicable diseases, so things like type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancers, stroke, etc., which are now the leading causes of poor health globally. So many of those risk factors arise during adolescence and are potentially modifiable. So what I'm really getting to are things like tobacco smoking, physical inactivity, obesity.
So you've mentioned health concerns there already, or specific issues that are causing this problem, things like tobacco, things like mass migration. But these are issues that affect the greater population at large. So why is this group of people from 10 to 24 years of age particularly impacted?
We're increasingly understanding that adolescence is a really important developmental stage. And so for a long time, we had framed adolescence as largely a stage of pubertal development or of sexual maturation. But we are increasingly understanding that adolescence is a really important time for social development. And so in particularly making that transition from education to employment and starting a family. But I think what we're also starting to understand as well are the really important brain maturations or neurocognitive developments that occur during adolescence as well.
In terms of the education you mentioned, did your research look at all at how people were impacted differently in countries like Australia, where there is such a good education offered to people, and other places where adolescents might not be getting the education that they need?
It certainly seems that in countries where adolescents, and particularly adolescent females, are able to complete secondary education, those adolescents enjoy a lower rate of fertility. And so the implications of that are that, you know, adolescents who have children earlier have poorer health outcomes themselves, but we also know that children born to adolescent mothers also have poorer outcomes as well. And so certainly one of the key recommendations to come from the Commission is improving and assuring access to education is a really great thing. Schools can provide a means for improving the mental health and well-being of young people.
How important is that mental health when we're talking about adolescents around the world?
So we looked at 188 countries for which data were available, and we essentially grouped these countries into three main types of health profile that adolescents are experiencing. So the one thing that was common to all of those country groupings was mental health. And certainly there has been very little shift in mental disorder or poor mental health experienced by adolescents globally.
So to move away from those mental illnesses that we've been discussing to some more physical challenges, you've mentioned tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. Why is something like TB, which essentially has a cure, I believe, still such an issue internationally?
And that's a really complicated question, I suppose. I would sort of just say that for a long time now, tuberculosis, again, the focus has largely been on tuberculosis amongst adults and tuberculosis amongst children. In terms of the burden of tuberculosis amongst adolescents, well, firstly, that's been largely uncharacterised and unknown. And so actually some colleagues of mine here at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute are doing some work now to characterise the pattern and determinants of tuberculosis globally. You know, we haven't really been able to characterise what even some of the most pressing health issues for young people have been globally. There's long been the assumption that young people are healthy and don't have any health issues. And so what this commission report actually has been able to do is to actually paint a picture of what some of the leading health issues are to actually inform policy and program. I think we still have a long way to go, though, now in terms of understanding exactly what the determinants of these health issues are. So, for example, you know, to take the example of tuberculosis, you know, why so many young people are experiencing tuberculosis? Is it because they're acquiring the infection primarily, or is it because that there's been an incomplete treatment as a child, and how we can actually best respond to these health issues as well?
Another issue that's raised in this research is the frequency that adolescents and young people are victims and perpetrators of crime and criminal offence. So how does that play out when we talk about trying to maintain adolescents' health?
Around 10% of the world's adolescent population live in countries where, in addition to this burden of non-communicable disease, they are also experiencing high rates of injury. And so these countries largely are in Latin America and Eastern Europe. particularly, you know, important causes of injury here relate to firearms, but also as well, you know, road traffic and unintentional injuries as well. So in terms of responding to these settings, you know, actually looking at the legislative frameworks is going to be really important.
Is this the beginning of a greater body of research about adolescents' health around the world?
Absolutely. If we go back, you know, even 10 years, we didn't know and we couldn't describe what adolescent mortality rate was globally and why adolescents were dying. Now, what happened in 2007 was the first adolescent health series where we were able to describe what some of the issues were at a global level, so not at a country level, but at a global level for adolescents. But certainly what this report here is bringing is a shift in thinking, highlighting that the health of adolescents is not just important to their health, but to the health of the next generation and to future adults as well.